Welcome to Grace Baptist Church in Chattanooga, Tennessee. Thank you for joining us on Sunday evening, April the 10th, 2011.
Well, we're going to begin tonight with Everlasting God. Strength will rise when we wait upon the Lord. I'm going to ask you to stand with me as we sing together this chorus. Strength will rise. Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. Our God, you reign forever. Our hope, our strong deliverer. ladies trio if they would to come and share with us.
In my darkness, Jesus found me, touched my eyes and made me see, broke the chains that long had bound me, gave me life and liberty. Oh, glorious love of Christ, my Lord divine, that made him stoop to save a soul like mine. Through all my days and then in heaven above, my song will silence never. I'll worship him forever and praise him for his glorious love. Amazing truth to ponder, he whom angel hosts attend, Lord of heaven, God's Son, what wonder, he became the sinner's friend. Oh, glorious love of Christ, my Lord divine, made him stoop to save a soul like mine. Through all my days and then in heaven above, my song will silence never. I'll worship him forever and praise him for his glorious love. My song will silence never. I'll worship him forever, praise him for his glorious love, and praise him for his glorious love, and praise him for his glorious love. Thank you
much. We'll ask the men to come at this time. Bill, will you pray for the offering, please?
Hope, the person not. We need to work with the little piece of God, the only
Thank you, Lisa. Appreciate that. Fill my cup, Lord. I don't know. A lot of times when you're playing songs and listening to songs, I have these childhood remembrances, and that was one of them. I remember singing that song when I was a little child, but I don't think I really realized the words in the song of really what it was talking about. I think you probably understand that, but a lot of times as you get older, you realize the meaning of things a little bit more. So anyway, oh well, just a thought for the day. I taught you a chorus probably 6 or 8 months ago. It was entitled Receive Our Praise, and I'm not even sure I came back to it after that, but I just want to sing it for you again tonight, or sing it with you. It's just a really simple little chorus, but I think it should express our heart's desire. Receive our praise. It goes like this. Receive our praise, O God. Receive our praise, O King. Sanctify our hearts today. Receive our praise. Sing it with me. Receive our praise, O God. Receive our praise, O King. Sanctify our hearts today. Receive our praise. Receive our
privileged to have the Dennis family to be with us really over the last several months, and we've had a lot of folks that have gotten to know them and to know a little bit about their testimony and their experiences in Liberia. And my earliest introduction to the ministry of Liberia came when I was a sophomore in high school. And as a sophomore in high school, I can remember that my family left an American Baptist church, and they started meeting together with about half a dozen other families with the hopes of planting a church, an independent church, in Plainfield, Indiana. And at that time, we met, as a group, the men that were really the focal point of that ministry were all very enthused and interested in missions. And so one of the first missionaries that they took on was a fellow that actually lived up in northern Indiana, was raising his support to go to Spain, and that was my introduction to Jim West, Jim and Carol West. And so our church took them on. We've known them ever since. And this would have been, I graduated from high school in 63. I'm guessing this would have been about 1961, 1960, something like that. And the other person that was very meaningful in our life was a single lady that went to work in the radio station that SIM had in Liberia. And it was ELWA. And ELWA, the call letters basically meant Eternal Love Winning Africa. And Phyllis Klingenpiel, that was, I remember her coming to raise support, and she was going as a secretary and to help in that radio station. And so as a boy, you know, we prayed for our missionaries, and that was just an early habit that we developed. So I'm interested in Liberia and what some of the things that have happened, and so we're going to ask the dentist to come, and would you be comfortable up here, or do you want to stand down here with microphones? Which would work? Okay, all right. Go ahead. We'll let you do that.
I do have a very rough voice as it is. And the cold this past week hasn't helped at all. So will you please excuse me a little bit? It's good that Pastor mentioned ELWA. Right now, I don't know if I should say I'm proud to say or I'm humbled to say that one of my sons is working out at ELWA. He's one of the managers out there right now. He was in the States before, but then he moved back to Liberia about 2 years ago. And that's where he is right now on the campus there. So I'm glad that you do know about that setup out there. And talking about reconciliation, Pastor been talking about lately. I think that's one of the motivations that going back to Liberia is all about right now. Because when I left Liberia in 1990, I didn't think I would ever go back there. I was bitter. But the Lord has been working on me. I feel differently now. Whenever I have the opportunity to give a testimony or to make some remarks, I like to start off with a Bible verse. Usually the verse I use comes to mind depending on the occasion at hand. I was a bit stuck for this evening though, as to what verse to use. Well, I decided on Psalm 116, verse 12, which reads, "What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? For as I look around, I realize that I'm blessed." Then with the psalmist in Psalm 34, verse 1, I say, "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth." I'm the oldest of 13 children of my parents who have gone to be with the Lord some 20 or more years ago now. So have two sisters and three brothers. Thank God my parents and grandparents were all Christians. As such, they brought us up in the fear and knowledge of the Lord. By the time I was 10 years old, I had heard nearly all of the Bible stories I know today and have read for myself. Stories from Genesis and the creation down to Revelation, the judgment. I remember as she, my grandmother, my mother's mother, told us these stories about Noah and the ark, or the Hebrew children, or the sower and the seed and the good ground, the Good Samaritan. I wanted to be on the better side, like the good soil or the Good Samaritan, and so on. By the time we reached the Revelation and the judgment, when some would be called on the left and some on the right, and the final decree, I was sure than ever that I wanted to be on the Lord's side. So at the age of 11, I was ready to ask the Lord to forgive me and come into my heart, because Grandma had also told us that if you prayed and asked the Lord to forgive you and come into your heart, he would do that. So I did just that and asked him to come into my heart. I wouldn't say that it has been an easy road. No, it hasn't. Sometimes along the way, you get off track. But as I grew older, got married to my first husband, had our children, I knew I had to tell them also of the Lord. Thank God they are all Christians trying to bring up their children in the right way, despite the distractions that surround us nowadays. I mentioned my first husband of 37 years, Albert T. White, because he was a career soldier and rose to a high rank in the Army. I said that also because, you see, in most countries, whenever there is an uprising, the leaders, who are usually men, are targeted. They are arrested, imprisoned, and most times killed. In 1980, April 12, just about this time, there was a coup d'etat in our country. Albert, an old retired Army officer, and his family, now living in Zwedru, Grand Junior County, home of the master sergeant who had overthrown the government, was arrested and jailed for almost 2 years. I was arrested also with one of my sons, but later released. Months later, our home was taken away from me and the children. My husband was still in prison. We lost everything. I had to leave the area and come down to where my parents were, my old home city, Kerrisburg. During that time, hundreds of people were killed. 13 government officials were tied to poles and shot dead. James's younger brother was one of them. When Alba was finally released from prison, he came to where we were. We tried to rebuild and make a new start. In exactly 10 years later, 1990, the Civil War broke out. That was much worse than the coup in 1980. Albert, the retired Army officer, had kept his insignias, officer's cap, a dress uniform, and stuff like that as souvenir to show his children. That was bad. He was part of the army, they said. The rebels were against the army. He was again arrested because he had lived in a hometown where the master sergeant who had taken over the government and had made some improvements up there. Albert was stripped of his clothes, except for his shorts, where he had to beg to keep them on. His upper arms and wrists were tied to his back. He was made to lie on the ground for several hours in that position. Then they put him in a car and drove off. Since that day until today, we have not seen or heard from him. Our home was shot through and through and looted from top to bottom, as were many other homes. While all of this was going on, our yard had become a checkpoint. A rope was tied across the road. All vehicles were stopped, and the keys taken away from the drivers by the rebels. Hundreds of people were stranded in the yard. They even ordered me to take off my clothes. But I too begged them after I had taken off the two large wraparound skirts I had on. I was pushed and made to sit on the ground. They made me get up and then pushed me several other times with the butt of the gun they carried on their shoulders. My shoes were kicked off my feet. Another group came and made me get up off the ground and ordered me to follow them down the road, asking for money and guns my husband had. We had no money. We had no guns. We had a little money that I had tied in a little bag and tied around my waist. So if I had taken off the last skirt, they would have seen that, and then I would have been naked. Whenever you were ordered to walk down the road, the one who went down the road never came back up. During all of those times, I was somewhat numb, but I knew that the Lord was with me. The Spirit was interceding for me. Because he let me ask, I know the Spirit was interceding for me or on my behalf, because he let me ask a question of the rebels, one of the groups standing under the tree in the yard. Yes, they moved around in several groups, each group doing what pleased it. The question I asked was, are you going to let these people kill me? There was silence as we continued to walk down the road. Then one of those standing under the tree spoke in his dialect. I didn't understand what he said, but just then one of those escorting me said in English, since you said I shouldn't kill her, I will break her legs. I saw him reach for the gun on his shoulder. I closed my eyes. I heard the shot, but I didn't feel anything. I opened my eyes, looked down, and saw the hole in the ground that the shot had made between my feet. By now, I was even more numb. Excuse me. Just then, they saw my brother's home that was locked up because he too had been driven off by an earlier group. So they moved in and began to break that house up. That's when I walked back up the yard in a complete daze. Through all of this and so much more, I know it was the Lord, it was the hand of the Lord that kept me. Remembering the words of the poem Footprints, I know it's He, the Lord, that carried me over all those rough spots, because by myself I couldn't have made it. As God would have it, about a month later, I was able to travel here to the States along with one of my daughters and some grandchildren. The older children were already here in school. By God's continued help, we were able to get in touch with them. With the help of their friends, we made it over here. That was a rough time, but we made it, thanks be to God. When we got here to the States, we applied for political asylum, and it was granted a few time later. We were also granted citizenship, U.S. citizenship. Through that, we were able to receive much-needed help as we left home with nothing. America is a great country. She has her weaknesses, but she also has her strength. Her strength is in her people, who on the whole are good people, sharing people, caring people. Because of her wealth and her open-handedness, she has done things for she has helped people of all race and creed. She has done things for some of us that our own country is not able or don't have the means to do. As we leave, we are not leaving, never to come back. This is our home as well. May God continue to bless America. Thank you, America. God works in mysterious ways. James, my second husband, whom I called Jay, and I went to the same high school in Liberia. Are you understanding me? After we were casual friends. After we graduated, we went our separate ways. We met again after many years here in the States. And 12 years later, after all our problems in Liberia between 1980 and 1990, he asked me to marry him so that we could spend our last years together. That's another long story, but I agreed. And we got married May 4 in 2002 in Minnesota, where I lived then. Because he had worked here in Chattanooga before and came to like the place, I came to see here, and I too liked it. So we moved down here the very day we got married, May 4, 2002, and lived in Harrison. When we moved up on Jenkins Road, I looked for a church 4 years later. I looked for a church to attend the Wash Night service for the new year. That was in 2002. I found Grace Baptist Church from the phone book. The name of the church rang a bell because in Liberia, in Zuedru Grand Jire County, where we lived, we were some of the founding members of the Baptist church we called Grace Baptist. Most of our children were dedicated to the Lord in that church. I came to a white service that night here. After the service, a lady came up to me and introduced herself and told me of the Bible study the ladies held here on Tuesday mornings. She said I was welcome if I wanted to come. I came the very next Tuesday and have been coming since then, except for when I travel or something comes up and I can't make it. That lady was Joanna Rice. Joanna, if you are here this evening, I want to say a big thank you to you for inviting me. I have come to meet so many wonderful ladies. A couple of Barbaras, some Lindas, there's Wanda, Renee, Mary Lou, another Joanna Rice, Jean, Marguerite, Doris, Phyllis, Teresa, Pat, just to name a few. Thank you all for accepting me, because I have enjoyed all the times we spent together learning about the continual mercies of the Lord. While we were in Liberia last year, some of our children came here to help us sort out and start our packing for the move. They saw that situations for loading a container in the yard wasn't good. So one of the boys came down here and spoke to someone about allowing his parents to use a space up in the lot up the hill to load the container. When he saw us, he told us what he had done. So when we got back from Liberia, my husband came down and met Brother Mark Murray. The story is yet to be told of how God answers prayers. From one kindness to another, one blessing to yet another blessing. Later, the doorbell rings. Excuse me. Another brother introduces himself and says he hears that we will be moving to Liberia and that we might need some help in packing. That was Brother Tom Crum. That is still another story. Then there was Brother Mike with boxes and wrappings, and Brother Tom Kilpatrick, and so many others. He helped us to pack one morning. See why then I started off by saying, what shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits to me? For all his unspeakable gifts? Talking about who is your neighbor, Pastor? Even you, Pastor, I heard you make an offer of pieces you had that could be used to help build some protection or support for the car for loading. We are still talking about who is your neighbor. What a blessing. I have said a lot, but before I said, I would like to wish very seriously that a sister relationship could be established with this Grace and the Grace in Zuedru, Liberia, and that one day someone will stand up here and gave a report on a trip, a visit, or even more on the conditions at that Grace Baptist Church. As I close now, I want to ask Pastor in this public way that you please add our names, James C. and Catherine White Dennis, to the prayer list. I know it is a long list you have, but please see if you can squeeze us on at least the last line at the bottom. And let us stay there as long as it's permitted. And as the song goes, you pray for me and I pray for you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
You can see I'm already filled. This is serious business. When you've gone through what we have gone through, in reality, it's no joke, and still can stand before an audience like you and talk and praise God from whom all blessings flow, is something. I must first congratulate, express my profound feelings that I shared in the church this morning when we heard the great presentation made by your great choir, Pastor, led by your director, Holcomb, and all the excellent musicians that you had demonstrating the great work of what God does for humanity. The pivot that was projected was the light of the world, which is Jesus Christ. We've been pleased and we've been happy and we have enjoyed every moment coming to this church. It all started with me, in essence, in 1947. When I don't know whether I met Catherine first or got my religion. The First United Methodist Church was conducting a revival. And 100 of us went to pray. And I was one of those that got converted. And believe me, until now, since 1947, I still feel very close to the Lord that we serve. I met Catherine that Sunday in 1947 after the Methodist Church has had a conference. And after church, my father brought my brother and I, he was younger, down to greet the Urey family, Catherine's family. And he said to me and my brother, James and Cecil, I want you to meet the Urey family. Catherine being the oldest, and there were five girls. My father said, Mr. Urey, these are my two boys. And Mr. Yuri in turn said, Mr. Dennis, these are my five girls. I'm building up a story which you will hear at the end. I graduated from high school in 1949, which makes me very old. I'll be 82 this year. It was the second time I met Catherine when she went to the college. She spoke about it then. One afternoon, walking her down the street to her house, I said to her, Catherine, I like you very much. And she said, I don't want to hear that. And she just passed me by. Well, I left shortly after graduation and came to the United States to study. My interest was in medicine at first, but my father and mother persuaded me to take up journalism because they had started a daily newspaper in Liberia. The first daily newspaper in Liberia that was called The Listener. Well, I was persuaded, so I continued to follow that. I did go to school, graduated in journalism, worked in the United States of America for many years, and then returned home. In 1962, when I started, my father had started a daily newspaper with four pages. Well, now, I have been to this great country. I had traveled more than 22 states. I've seen the developments in newspapers. And when I got back home and saw a four-page daily newspaper, I almost closed my eyes. And I said, I got work to do. I developed that newspaper from four pages to 48 pages. And I worked very hard at it. And I got people exposed, and I got the country exposed, and I became very popular. My father's been in the legislature for many, many years. My brother later became Secretary of State after President Tubman died, and Willard Talbot, the President and Vice President, became President. So my brother was the Secretary of State of the country. And then many things started taking place. Being involved in journalism, newspaper, and talking candidly with people and finding friends and gaining information here and there. You hear things, you understand things, and you can see many things that ordinarily people don't see. And so one day, I went to my father's house and told him, call my brother from the State Department that I had a very important message to give him. He came. And I said to him, Cecil, this country will face great trouble. I see it in the making. I talk with people, and I can feel it. The boat you are riding is about to sink. I advise you to get off the boat before it sinks. He looked at me candidly. He was so involved in government and well dedicated to his job and the country. And he said, well, James, if this boat sinks, I will sink with the boat. It wasn't long afterwards the race riot came. And it was very serious then. People were running here, there, and yonder. I wrote a very strong editorial asking the government, and yet the government is asking why. Because they saw that things was happening. When Torba had taken the government and the young people were given freedom and rice, the stable food in that country, was being manipulated and politically entangled in trying to convince the people that why buy rice from government when we can give you rice cheaper. It was the Chinese influence that had influenced them falsely. And so the majority of the people in the country began to think, well, if we can get this rice for a cheaper thing, then it's better. And a big commotion took place. And believe me, that got out of hand. Shortly after that was the coup d'etat. And the coup d'etat was a military bloody coup d'etat. My brother turned himself in and 10 days after he was after he turned himself in, he was lined up with 12 other cabinet officials and executed. The very day the president of Liberia, then Doe, Kion Doe, called a press meeting. I attended the press meeting. I did not know what was happening then. But it was a set. It was a plot. Because they had arrested my brother, because he was supposed to be executed on that day, I, being a pressman, being at the mansion at the time, was a very good time for them to grab me. And I attended this meeting, and I observed when we got there, the lady before me, because we had to go through a special door, it was not the ordinary situation then, this was wartime. And I observed when they opened the door, they escorted her to the left. But when I got into the door there, they escorted me into the right. They had the press conference. I never attended it. Instead, I was held in the SSS office, Secret Service office, for more than 10 hours, interrogating me, asking all kinds of questions, not knowing that that very day my brother would have been executed. So I was there, and around about 5 o'clock, the SSS director looked at me and he said, James, in fact, he said, Mr. Dennis, do you know me? Well, I was so nervous, believe me, I didn't know what to think. I said, no, I don't think I do. And he said, my name is Beku Wright. You might not know me, but I worked in your office. When you developed Palm Magazine and you were working for the Daily Listener, I worked there with your organization. You are a good man. You are a man of God. And for that, I'm releasing you and sending you home. So he walked me down the stairs and he released me and sent me home. When I got home, I didn't know what had happened. But I turned on BBC because that was the only way we could get information. and BBC announced there was execution in Liberia. 13 government officials were killed, and among them was my brother. I collapsed. I was arrested 8 times at gunpoint, M16, and this is no joke. When I heard that the situation was getting serious, I was living in a very big house that I had built. It took me 4 years to do it, but I built it. I went and looked for my bishop, Bishop Kula, and the lay leader of the annual conference. And I went and invited them to come to my house for refuge because I knew the situation was dead serious. They had called, they had announced that Bishop Kula would be killed if they saw him. And I went and got him. When I got to my house, there had been other people gathered there. There were 27 of us in all that lived in that house for more than 2 months. We prayed every morning, Bishop Kula leading the prayers. I remember vividly one morning as I bent, sitting at the back of a window glass, and as I knelt, bent to get some tea that I was drinking, a bullet went right over my head, ricocheted against the wall, and grazed one of the members that was sitting there on his back. That bullet I have in my hands is to show, had I just been a fraction of an inch higher than what I was when I bent, I would have been a corpse today. So I know what God can do for people. Shortly after that, a team of officers came and arrested me and took me to another place where they say you have to identify the people you have in this house. They kept me there for many hours, and the idea was to get rid of me. And just about the time when they were about to escort me down the road that my wife spoke of when they normally were ready to do that, a good Samaritan soldier lady and 6 other soldiers came up and said, "Where are you carrying this gentleman?" And they were all loaded with guns also. They took me and brought me home. And everybody then, from the bishop down, they rejoiced because they just knew I was dead. Another time, a group came. They escorted me upstairs. The man cocked his M16. And he said, "Give me every penny you have." I said, "I don't have anything because you have taken everything that we did have." And I said, "I'm honest, but if you think you can do anything," because we were 27, they took everybody outside and carried me alone upstairs. Those were the things we went through. We saw them. My people, when we sit here and the pastor talks about being a good neighbor, getting to know your neighbor, knowing them means something. That's the Great Commission. Go around, preach the gospel. Let people know that there is Christ and that Christ exists alive. We left the United States, I mean Liberia. As Pastor said, we actually hit. We had to hide to leave. She went by road. I went by ship. A ship that called the Kano River. And that ship had 3,800 people on board that ship. We were so jammed up, and you just had to sit that way. And I left by night. I came to the United States of America just with what I had on, because we were given 15 minutes to leave after a shooting of 45 minutes when the peacekeeping force decided that they were going to hunt down Charles Taylor because his group was coming in. And so they went out shooting. And this house that had 27 people in it, including me, they shot through that house for more than 45 minutes because they knew if any men were in that house, they would have all been dead. And by the grace of God, not a single bullet hit any of us that were in that house. And when they got there and they say, come out of the house if you are alive. And we walked out with our hands up. And they say, you got 15 minutes to leave from here. Get ready. Let's go. And we left and got on our way to come here. I came by the ship. During that particular time, there were so many things going on and so many news. We heard, it came on the radio that General White, her husband, was a four-star general in the army. He was the chief of staff. They had executed him and they had executed her. I heard that news and I said, oh my goodness. And so as far as I knew, Catherine and her husband were dead until we met in the States again. And at a funeral. And this time when we met at the funeral, and I greeted her, and I said, do you know what? This time, I'm not going to let you go. And the rest is history. So you see us standing here with all of what had happened back home. Everything that we had was destroyed. We've prayed over it. It was hard to forgive the people who did it when you struggle and everything you own was taken away and destroyed. The newspaper that I built was burned down. We had nothing. And now we came to the States. An interesting thing happened. When I got here, I did not realize what Social Security meant. And a friend of mine at the church that I attended in Marietta, First United Methodist Church of Marietta, told me, he said, didn't you work here? You said you did? I said, yeah. He said, well, let's make an appointment down at Social Security. I said, for what? He said, if you work here, you got credit. And that struck me. I said, credit? I had no idea. I never knew what Social Security was all about. And he said, he made this appointment. We went down to Social Security and they, what's your name? And I gave them my name and they punched the computer. My name came up and they say, oh my goodness, you have worked. You have 30 new units. And all you need is 10. And you'll be eligible for Social Security for life. And believe me, I rushed for a job. I got the job. In less than 2 years, I got a letter from Baltimore saying, you are qualified. You're now eligible to draw Social Security for the rest of your life. And now we are enjoying the benefits of that, and we get Medicare. And so when Catherine spoke about how great America is, what a great nation this is, I never dreamed that I would ever be privileged to stand here and say, thank God I did come to America, I did work, I got my Social Security, and we can enjoy the benefits. So we are now preparing to go back home. The Lord say, forgive. So we're going back. When you old and decrepit as we are, 81 and 82, 80 and 81, going on 81 and 82, you have no value here anymore because nobody wants to work, hire you. The cost of living is higher than what it is, what the security income brings in. And so the best thing for us is to go back home. Where the dollar, you can get more from the dollar back there than you can get here. So this is why we have made up our mind, and with the great help of this church, like members of this church that has facilitated this thing from the pastor on down, we talk about Mark Murray. How are you, Mr. Murray? A great man. That man has mobilized whatever is available here in this church to assist us to prepare to go back home. When he introduced us to my brother Crum, and he comes every Saturday and works for from 9 until 3 and 4 constantly, getting us prepared to go back home. And his wife, Marge, joined too. And we come to the church and we go to their Sunday school class and we hear from Brother Ramsey, the Brother Phil Jones, who is helping to build this thing for the car to be in. And he's being assisted by Mac Brown. And Phil Darling, who is with the class, this great class, to give you inspiration. I told her, I said, when you go to Sunday school class, you like to ask questions. And sometimes in Sunday school class we have been going to, you couldn't ask any questions. You just sat there and listened to what the man said. Here, you participate, you get in, you ask questions. He's going from one chapter to the other, and everything and the thing is so informative and interesting and inspirational. Nothing could have been amiss the fact that we're here. When we look and see Brother Kirkpatrick has been to Liberia twice. As a matter of fact, he can tell you a lot of things about Liberia. And he felt inspired that we were planning to go home and doing every single thing he can to assist, helping my wife with getting books because she plans to go back home and she will read to the children. She will participate in our lake and almost feeble way. We will do whatever we can to help our people, be the neighbor that Pastor speaks of all the time. Back home, when you have a cup of rice, you cook it, and if you can't eat all, you leave it because people will come by and they will help you, and they will come and eat from you. The dollar that we get here will last us longer over there than what we can afford here. So we're packing up with the help of God. the grace of God, our love for humanity, the greatness that this country has. We've pleased, we've shared it, we enjoyed it. As you say, we are Americans, but we are also Liberians. So now they're working on the situation back home right now where they say, well, you have so many of our citizens who have gone to America and now they've been there, and let's encourage them to come home. And that's one of the things the president is doing. We do have a woman president now, and she's been there for 6 years, and we're trying to get her back for another 6 years. We need her. You can go with your first container. It's all duty free. So we're looking forward to that. We're able to carry everything that we can, and with any help that anyone can offer the Denises at a time like this, we'll be more than pleased to welcome that. It's been a privilege, Pastor, for talking here and sharing our little experiences that we've had. And these are real experiences, and this is no joke. You must be cautious of the fact that you do have, regardless of what the situation might be, the greatest country on earth is here in America. Thank you very, very much for the opportunity.
Wow. Wow. I'm counting on God. 45 minutes. Those guys weren't real good shots, were they? Isn't that something? What God's doing. Now, Tom, what kinds of needs do we have that in order to help them with the trip and everything?
Obviously, I'll need some help from some strong men. They have some of the heaviest furniture I think I've ever built in my life.
Okay. So the container cost is what?
$85.
Okay. I think that's doable. That's something to think about and pray about. I'm not going to take an offering tonight. What I'm going to ask you to do is think about it and pray about it, and if God burdens your heart to give towards this project for the Dennis and everything, then do that, and we'll help. And maybe God will sell the house. We'll pray for the house to sell, and we'd be honored to be a sister church to a church in Liberia, and we'd be honored to come visit you and see what's going on, and bring Tom along to take pictures and everything, and all. He can make things look real good, you know. And I need all the help I can in that. And you're on the prayer list. Well, and that's our prayer. We're thinking about being neighborly, and trying to get a hold of that idea and a hold of that concept. I think God's doing something special here. And right now, the Lord's going to do some things, and we're just going to have to let Him do it. And you know what? Liberia wasn't even on my radar in that sense, but Liberia's on my radar now. You begin to think about that. You begin to realize how God's moving in ways we can't begin to understand. Blackaby said it very well years and years ago. He said, "Find out where God's working and go and join Him." And that's what we want to do, right? Well, Father, you're doing some special, special stuff for us. And Father, as I think about the dentists and I think about the needs that they have, Father, it's great that you're putting us in this place to be able to be helpful and to be encouraging, Father. Help us to get behind this project, Father, and to do all that we can, Father, for you. We thank you for your blessings and how you keep people alive and how you control things, Father. And Father, we know we can count on you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for worshiping with us today. Grace Baptist Church exists to glorify God by knowing Him through His Word, loving Him through worship and obedience, and serving Him by caring for others. For more information about our ministries, please go to www.aboutgracebaptist.org. See you next time.